You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. This is Wednesday. It is the last day of our broadcast week. As you know, if you have been listening for the last couple of weeks, we're now broadcasting Monday through Wednesday, and our guest host on Thursday night is Jeff Bennett. And I wanted to inform you that Jeff asked me to mention this to you. Tonight, he is going to do the first of a four-part dissertation on the monetary system, the international bankers, etc. And I thought I would alert you to that so you can make sure that you tune in and try to get all of the four parts. He does have a CD, a compact disc, available on that, too, that he'll tell you about tomorrow night. And we're trying this, folks. Jeff contacted me when he heard that Sweet Liberty was going to have to go off the air because of the way too high airtime bill. And so we're going to try this and see if cutting our airtime bill down by 25% is going to make it possible for us to continue here. And, of course, it's all up to you, isn't it, folks? Because it is your broadcast, the information that I bring you is information I have, or I wouldn't be able to bring it to you. So please know that. I don't do this for fun. I don't do it because it's been a lifelong desire to be a radio talk show broadcaster host. But I am doing it, and I'm doing it out of my love, my hunger, and my thirst for the truth. And my deep desire to share as I'm learning with you all. And on that, our spiritual message tonight is one that I do often and I will continue to do often. I think it's important for us to remember this. There's been so many lies told about Jesus and his time here and his message. And then the religion that was made by the priesthood that twisted and torqued the message. We have been given truth in the Bible. However, discernment is needed. But so many people say, "Well, he came here to shed his blood for us, so that we sinners can be saved." Jesus said pretty clearly that as we sow, so shall we reap, And I never read anything in the Bible where he said he came here to begin a religion. I'll tell you what he said to Pontius Pilate. This is in John 18, when Pontius Pilate was trying to trip him up in that conversation. And when Jesus said that my kingdom is not of this world, Pilate, this is in verse 37, he said to Jesus, "Well, are you a Jew then? Or excuse me, are you a king?" And here's what Jesus answered. And according to the scriptures here, folks, he said, "You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." And when I think about it, I cannot think of a better reason or purpose for us to have while we are in this third dimensional realm in this physical world is to bear witness unto the truth. And I know for myself, I don't have all the truth, the whole truth and nothing but. And it is a process. It's been a process of discovery for me. And the one thing I keep cautioning myself, and I caution you folks, is that when it comes time that we say, okay, now I've got it, then I think we're in a world of trouble because we're closed off to any further expansion or understanding of what we believe we know to be true. So it is a search. And that's enough. I think I covered that well enough. And our guest this evening again is Alan Watt. And I just realized I could talk us through another 15 minutes, and I don't want you to miss the information that Alan has to share with us. Alan, thanks for being here again.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Yep. It's always our pleasure, too. One of the things that you mentioned today when I called you to make sure that our watches were synchronized, I hadn't realized, and I don't know if our listeners, all of them, are aware of this, but when the yesterday being, you know, the anniversary of the of Pearl Harbor, and you had said that their code for when they were attacking Pearl Harbor was Torah, Torah, Torah.
Yeah.
Is there a Japanese word like T-O-R-A?
Well, we're told that was their word for attack, but we don't really know. I mean, it's an awful... it's one of these odd coincidences you have.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that's...
History is full of, yeah.
That's what I was wondering. With the word Torah, T-O-R-A-H,
mm-hmm.
of course, is, you know, the Jews' holy book. And I began to wonder, well, maybe that could be checked out. I mean, if the Japanese word for attack is Torah...
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that, if it is, Alan?
I'm not certain, but that's definitely what they broadcast as they were going in. Yeah. And they said it three times, which is strangely Masonic, because that's how Masonic instructions are. They're always in triplicate.
Yeah, well, I was trying to do a search on that earlier this evening, and I just asked Jeeves, you know, what does Torah, Torah, Torah mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept bringing up stuff about the Torah, but I found something interesting. You know, the Old Testament, the first five books of the Old Testament being the Torah, I wound up in this Jewish website. I think it's called Judaism 101 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Frequently asked questions, what does Torah mean? And they said, listen, folks, it can be, it can have several meanings. The Torah can mean the first five books of the Old Testament, which they call the book of Moses, or it can be the all of that writing in what Christians call the Old Testament, or it can be the first five books of that Old Testament, which is their Torah, and all of the subsequent writings that make up the entire Talmud. So for people, Christians, who want to put so much emphasis and attention on that Old Testament, Alan,
yeah,
like it's the Word of God, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was quite fascinating, though. Oh, and I'll tell you what else they said. They said, for the Jews, there is no Old Testament.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yet they say the reason they're taking all that land in Israel is because it is their biblical mandate. They didn't say Talmudic mandate. They said it's their biblical mandate. So they claim the Bible when it serves them, don't they?
Well, that's what most legalists do. You know, anything to do with legalism or law is just a matter of picking and choosing which parts you want to use for that particular purpose.
Yeah.
That's what law is all about, you know. And it also, when you look at the supposed history of how the Old Testament was written, and you've got to remember, 2,000 years ago, the Old Testament that they were given was written in Greek. It wasn't in Hebrew.
afraid it was translated from.
And it was written in Greek by a bunch of priests who supposedly were in Egypt around 200, 300 B.C. This is the story. 72 priests who happened to be in Egypt wrote it in Greek for the Jews who spoke Aramaic.
Who had lost their...
Figure that out. And it wasn't the first...
They were in Egypt... Translating it into Greek for the Jews who spoke Aramaic.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
So, no, it was a compilation of esoteric stories, really, not the exoteric ones, of the mystery religion that had been in existence for a long, long time before that. I mean, Moses is just another form of Hermes, basically.
Of what?
Hermes.
Hermes?
Yeah, Hermes. Hermes is the truly enlightened figure. And so the illumined one can go up the mountain where the rest of the people who are in the mob or in the dark, they must stay below. So going up the mountain is symbolic of the illumined one.
Oh.
And Moses is just the Egyptian word for child. And it's just dropped the Ra, the child of Ra. Ra Moses.
Ramoses,
So this is
son of.
Yeah, son of Ra. So child of Ra. So that's it's all esoteric high masonry, basically.
Okay, let me hear your take on the quote Ten Commandments. He went up the mountain.
Yeah.
And he became enlightened.
Yeah, that's right.
And he came down with the Ten Commandments on these. On these two huge, what do you call them, stones?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then he got ticked off and broke them and had to go get another set.
Well, he broke the law, yeah.
He broke the law.
Mm-hmm. He was the first guy to break the law.
So that is, that story is an esoteric.
Yeah, it's all esoteric.
You think Moses really existed, anyone named Moses?
No, I mean, as I say, it's the same... In all the ancient mystic religions, there's always a Moses or a Hermes type figure. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And Hermes is always related to Thoth, the god Thoth or Thoth in Egypt, who was also the one who gave law and writing to the people. So Moses is a combination of Hermes and Thoth.
Would you say that the esoteric message in there, is that have anything to do with the Kabbalah?
Even though the Kabbalah has been added to, especially around the 1500s onwards, it definitely, even Wallace Budge, who translated lots of the old Egyptian for the London Museum, he claims that he's found much of the Kabbalah already existed in ancient Egypt. So it's not a modern thing at all, although it has been added to since the 1500s. But and it's the same with the Talmud. The Talmud was a Babylonian religion, which was taken over, or at least a bunch of people came out of Babylon with an updated religion, but it was based on the Babylonian Talmud. That's when Judaism began. If you look at the Greek...
Did the Pharisees not exist then yet?
No. I mean, supposedly, according to the mythology, they were taken into captivity from Israel into Babylon, where they were there for a couple of hundred years. And when they went in, they had Levites as priests and a set of rituals and so on. And basically the books of Moses, or at least the oral tradition of Moses, when they came out, they had the Talmud, which is now the main book, and they had the Pharisaical priesthood, and the Sadducees, which again, as in all these mystic religions, has double meanings. even the Sadducees, who were the nobility of supposed nobility of the supposed Jews, and I've no doubt they were the nobility of Babylon that came out there, their symbol was the serpent. And you'll find, too, in the Jewish traditions of Moses, the brazen serpent that he had made to go in front of him with the wings, and a serpent round the staff, was put into a grove, a sacred grove, and it was worshipped there, basically, for a couple of hundred years. So the Sadducees, again, have this serpent symbol. And if you take the... Remember, too, it's really a Latin term. We're reading a Latinized name here, Sadducees. And if you take the S and put it back into a C, you have the Caduceus.
Caduceus. And that was their staff, right?
Which is the serpent, again. So that's all games and tricks, you see. And the blind cannot see. That's the whole idea. Those who have no eyes don't see what's right in front of them. So they play these games with us all the time. The Pharisee is also a play on Pharaoh, you see. And Phares and Peres is actually the eagle. So that's the royal eagle, basically.
Royal eagle for who?
From
the royalty?
The ancient mystery religion, which ran Babylon, Egypt, and all the old world.
Would you pronounce that when you said the Sadducees and then you put a C in it?
Yeah.
And how did you pronounce that?
Caduceus. Caduceus.
Okay.
You see, that's the same symbol you'll see on every ambulance with the serpent round the
staff. Oh, it's the symbol of the doctors.
Yes.
American Medical Association, etc.
Yeah, and if you take the two, generally it's two intertwined serpents, you'll have the figure eight, which is as above, so below, the two circles. That's
uh-huh.
what that also. And plus, it also is a double helix of the gene. You know. So all of this stuff is highly symbolic. And we take it for granted simply because we grew up and see them everywhere. We never question their origins or what they really mean.
Yeah.
So, people came up. If you look at the Greek occupation prior to the Roman occupation of that whole area, we can call it the supposed Holy Land, and the Greek maps, there is no Israel.
There is no what?
Israel.
Oh, I was going to ask you that when you mentioned that they were taken out of Israel into Babylon.
Yeah.
Israel didn't exist at that time, did it?
There's no mention in the Persian, Egyptian, or anybody else's histories.
And no maps.
Of Israel. And the Greeks' maps, they had the whole area, the entire area was called Idumea, for the Idumeans. So all we can really say is that the whole idea of an Israel began much later with a bunch of people coming out of Babylon.
And you were explaining that the other night, Isis, Ra, and El.
Yeah.
Is Ra, El,
mm-hmm.
are just the names of... And so if that's the Trinity, would then that be a goddess Trinity, being Isis, being the mother goddess?
It's more than just that. It's the sun, the moon, together as the hermaphrodite. Because even in Judaic religions, they have a whole tradition to do with God that is both male and female. And again, it pre-existed Judaism. Plato also talks about it. That when the god turned one way, he was woman. When he turned the other, he was man. And so he's also hinting at the same esoteric deity that the aristocracy of Greece, ancient Greece, worshipped. It's the same ancient doctrine.
And they believe that the first man that was made was actually a hermaphrodite?
Well, if you were to take it literally... The creator, if it was the creator that made this particular man for the garden, the Eve story or the Eden story,
man and male and female created he them.
Yeah, but he said in the perfect image of himself, he made man, you see. Now, if he was male and female, then that's what they're hinting at, that Adam himself would be both, and then it took the female from Adam. And so, it separated the two.
So do you think if they were doing some cloning?
Well, if you go into the other histories that we all tend to, well, have been taught to ignore, such as the histories of India, and the Brahmins claim that the Brahmins of northern India survived a catastrophe in the previous age, and they said eventually the area where the Black Sea is was a huge valley which was used as an experimental laboratory where different types of humans were created, and it all went sort of awry because they were mixing animals with humans, and they started to eat each other.
Yeah.
And so what they did was flood the whole valley, and that became the Black Sea. And that's in their histories.
And then there's where the Khazars came from.
Yes.
Or at least there's where they landed.
Yeah, and you'll find, too, that was also almost like a Miami for the holidaymakers of the nobility of ancient Greece.
Was it?
Traveled to, and then Rome as well, yeah. Always was.
They went to Caesarea?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
For their Roman holidays, huh?
That's right. Yeah. Oh, Caesarea by the sea. There's much, much older histories involved here. And, of course, they think that the Troy itself was up that way somewhere, the original Troy. And there's no doubt they have found buildings by submarine in the last few years. They found buildings 100 feet or more beneath the surface of the Black Sea, which I don't know how far down these buildings go. They're submerged.
Isn't it a possibility that all got covered up in that big deluge, that big conflagration that Emanuel Velikovsky wrote of?
I think this one was more deliberate.
Uh-huh. Why would you think that? When do they have a timeline as to when it became a sea rather than a city?
Yeah, well, it definitely... Velikovsky's explanation would be around 1300 B.C.
Uh-huh.
And this was prior to that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the Old Testament in Masonic parlance basically gives the rules of the game of the system in which we live. You know,
the rules of the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big game, right, Alan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a real game.
It's the system. It's a system.
Yeah.
And it's a system, again, based on money, wealth, debt, slavery, and so on. It gives all of the rules. So it's interesting to note as well that the Pharisees were the black-robed priests when they emerged from Babylon.
Like the judges today?
The judges are exactly the same, and of course that represents Saturn in the old mystery religion. And Saturn was the father of the gods. And they're not real gods. They're representatives of parts of the system. That's what Jupiter and so on all mean.
And was it Zeus, whose father was Saturn?
In Greek was Kronos. Yeah. So you go between the Greek and the Roman, they had different names for the same.
Uh-huh. And Zeus became Zeus Pater, God the Father.
Yeah.
And that's where Jupiter came from.
Yeah.
So the Greeks had Zeus Pater, mm-hmm. the Romans had Jupiter or Jove,
mm-hmm.
which is Jehovah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yehovah.
So it's the same thing.
And I remember that you had mentioned, too, that the story of Moses, of his birth and being put into the rushes, hidden, etc., was an exact takeoff of the story of Sargon the Elder. Was it Babylon?
That's right. He had the same story behind him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, again, with the play on words, because Cohen was priest in the old, and that's where king comes from eventually through different dialects, but Cohen was priest and Cain was priest. And so when they talk about bulrushes and the canes, it's all symbology of a priesthood.
I see.
It's an esoteric story combined within it. You know?
And the Ten Commandments?
Again, I mean, there were a lot more than ten, but according to modern Judaism, they have the whole Mishnah, which is the oral tradition, which supposedly is a secret tradition that Moses gave to his followers, which... and that was meant only for it's crazy because there were no Jews when supposedly Moses gave them this. There was only Hebrews. But
and the Hebrew is the word Habaru.
Habaru is
or Habaru.
It came up by the Egyptians of an invading people who came in from the highland areas to the northeast and invaded took over Egypt for a period. They were vicious mercenaries, basically.
The Habaru. And that was the Hebrew, right?
Well, that's what historians today think. They must be. And they do know that some of them had Semitic names. So, not all of them, though. But the Habaru was a conglomeration of different peoples. It wasn't just one race of people. Really, in fact, and they were all nomadic initially.
Wanderers.
Until they settled within Egypt. And they were the most tyrannical rulers Egypt ever had. And it was a general eventually who started an uprising to kick them out.
And also the Hyksos are mentioned that way.
Yeah.
Is that one and the same people?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Well, the Hyksos refers to another term they went by, and that was shepherd kings.
Okay, but this is still the same Habaru?
Yeah.
So they weren't taken into Egypt and enslaved. They actually went in to enslave Egyptians.
Yes, there were two forces that came into Egypt at the same time. One from the Aegean Sea, or Mediterranean Sea, and they were called the boat people. And another bunch came by land, driving their animals before them and with them. And so the Hyksos, it often say shepherd kings, but Hyk really refers to cattle, that they drove cattle ahead of them. And the Habiru were the mercenaries who backed them up, basically.
So the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
They were the mercenaries.
Yes, so they took over Egypt. They slaughtered thousands of the Egyptians, and then the Habiru nobility made themselves pharaohs for a couple of hundred years till they were eventually kicked out again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the story of the Exodus, isn't it amazing how they took that worldwide conflagration
mm-hmm.
and wove it into a story around the special chosen people of Jehovah?
Yeah, well, they did more than that. I mean, again, it's an esoteric story of a group coming out of Egypt, but the real story was to do with Akhenaten's priesthood. He was the king or the pharaoh who they claim was the first guy to say that all gods are one, and Aten was the god.
And he closed down all of the temples and didn't he?
No,
of all the
down on the Ammons
we're getting ready to take that break at the half hour.
Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back in about 60 seconds, and I hope you will get your pen in hand so that you can take my address if you would like to become a participating listener sponsor of this broadcast. 6.5 years we have been listener sponsors, and we will be here until we are no more. We'll be right back right after this with Alan Watts. Stay with us. I'll be right back, Alan.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dog.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Jackie?
I don't know.
Okay, well, we're going out over the air. I know somebody needs to call Jackie on the caller line and say we got Alan, but we don't have her. If anyone...
I'll hang on here.
Yeah, hang on.
I guess I'll just talk about the peoples of the sea and the Hyksos in the meantime. And the peoples of the seas may have come from the Grecian islands at the same time as the land invaders were coming across from the east.
I'm listening again.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah. Were you filling up your coffee there?
Pardon?
Were you filling up your coffee cup?
Well, no, actually, Denise was here to get Gigi.
Oh.
I babysit a little neighbor girl a couple nights a week, and she gets here at 9:30, so it worked out pretty well, and thank you for carrying on.
Okay.
All right. Is there more that you wanted to say about this, or could I ask you?
Well, yeah. I mean, the esoteric part of the coming out of Egypt is to do with the entire Washington, D.C. sized bureaucracy of priests who had their brand new city of Amarna destroyed. And they were forced out, basically. They were an Egyptian priesthood. And of course, they were following Akhenaten, basically. That was the real esoteric story behind it, that all God is one. You see. Now, they called themselves slaves to the God, or servants. They were public servants. That's where the term comes from. That's what all the high masons know of the truth of the coming out of Egypt, what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the system that was to take over the world, coming out of one country and moving elsewhere.
I have a book called 30,000 Gods Before Jehovah, and it's a very fascinating book. And it told a lot of the language, the way that you had told us, how the words are made and what they mean. Even our alphabet has its own little code. And they mentioned the Caduceus.
Yeah.
And according to this book, they referred to the L, and they used that name a lot. They showed how often so many names end in L or begin with L, meaning God, but that this priesthood is the one that is actually even set the boundaries, where before there were no political or national boundaries, and that they actually went and set boundaries and actually changed the language That is, they said that is why so many of the languages have similarities. But their passport through every country that they went was the caduceus.
Yeah.
And that was the staff with the serpents around it.
Sure.
And they took translators with them because there were translators that could speak every language of every nation.
Yeah.
And they called them the bounds. I mean, they literally set a nationhood. I mean, you've talked about that before.
Yeah.
That they're the ones that dreamed up the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there weren't nations, there wouldn't be countries fighting against each other.
And you could not have a nobility arise.
Ruling over a nation.
You have to be a government, because governments say that themselves, that their first reason for existing is to protect the people against those guys over there.
So they set up all these boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And now their intention is to destroy all the boundaries.
Yes, because they claim that the great work, or this part of the great work, came down, or came to these enlightened guys around 4000 BC.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they claim. And that's also part of Judaic or Talmudic law, that the great work was begun 4000 BC.
6000 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the rabbis claim that they know the exact time and date that the world was created.
Oh, yeah.
Time.
In a sense, they do, because it's the system they're talking about.
Okay, their world.
It's the system, yeah. The beginning of the system.
Well, it's amazing, because I remember when you were with us so often back there in late 98, early 99, and you had, that was the first time I had even known anything about a, quote, international priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
And now in so many books that I read, the priesthood is mentioned, Alan.
Yeah.
And I've just never seen it before.
Yeah, it's all coming out now. Yeah. But no, they definitely existed. And when you do check out the esoteric traditions of the elite of Jewry, you'll find the same esoteric traditions with the ancient elite of Greece and Rome, and of the present nobility of Europe and the States. You know, it's the same ancient tradition and religion within them all. So there is one religion running the whole show here.
I wrote a little note down last night, a thought that came to me, actually. It's a friend of mine who was listening to another broadcaster and then said that she doesn't listen anymore because there's too much negativity.
Mm-hmm.
I won't mention names because I'm not saying this to be unkind, but that a lot of times it is said there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, why would he even be on the air if he tells all this terrible stuff,
mm-hmm,
and says there's nothing you can do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And really, Alan...
Yeah.
As far as doing something about it,
mm-hmm,
what does one do?
Well, I mean, obviously, if you live in a complete ironclad system, you can't do anything about it. If you use the methods that are given to you, there's no point in complaining about it, because nothing is going to change the agenda that's well underway, especially at this phase of it. And so there's no point in complaining to your representatives. They all belong to a political party, and their boss is the guy at the head of the party. And since they're all social climbers, they're not going to go against their party, you know. So they'll do what they're told. If they all, in fact, I believe they just passed the second Patriot Bill today, was it?
Well, I brought up an email today from yesterday that said that it had passed the House,
mm-hmm,
and that it was expected to pass the Senate today.
Yeah, 3,000 pages of laws.
Right.
And nobody read it. So that tells you what your representatives are.
How could anybody have read it, 3,000
yeah,
pages?
I know. But it was the same with the first one, when we're told to be unpatriotic if they read it.
And yet here we are doing these radio broadcasts,
mm-hmm,
sharing information, hopefully bringing truth, understanding, awareness to people. So there are people who are led at certain stages of their understanding and their awakening, I guess, to do certain things. One thing Ken and I taught this weekend, I think it was Ken and I, but that we had this conversation, that I was at one point, you know, for example, the people that get into the, quote, law, and I think how futile. I have this knee-jerk, you know, how futile to take a case into a court when they're so corrupt. And yet it occurred to me one time that it is not for me to judge what other people are moved to do, because maybe it is a compilation of all of the little things that each individual does that makes the difference.
Well, definitely using the system, which is law, you see, it might be important for that individual in that sense, but technically isn't going to change the agenda.
Yeah, it won't change the agenda, but maybe if enough people are awakened. You had said this about, for example, the Federal Reserve System, that when I challenged you, because I thought Tupper Saucy's idea was pretty cool, you know, that people within the states would have the IOU that they would present for fines or fees, et cetera, taxes in the state, and say as soon as we have gold and silver coin, we intend to pay. And you had said, no, it's not going to work. I said, well, at least it's something. And you said, no, because you cannot get out of the system by using their system. Gold, they own and control the gold.
Mm-hmm.
They might not own it all, but they certainly control it.
And they also fix the prices of it.
And, yeah, that's what I was going to say, you know, the value.
FDR confiscated the gold, so they can confiscate anything they want.
But one of the things that you said that took a long while to gel for me, when you said that you cannot get out of the system by using the system, that made sense.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, well then, what is your solution? And you said, this is what took a while to gel, that as soon as enough people understand it, it'll collapse of itself.
Yeah.
Because you bring something like this into the light of awareness and understanding, and it can only exist in the darkness out of which it was created.
Yeah.
And that that it's up to each and every one of us as individuals how we be.
How we be, and everything boils down to individual choices as to where you are in your life or on your journey. And it's true enough. Here's your mirror image. There's no doubt about it. You do come out of the darkness into the light. And when you come into the light, then your mind, your body, your spirit, your soul all act in unison.
Uh-huh.
And you do begin to radiate something from yourself to others. Your abilities definitely increase. And as I say, like Arnold Toynbee said in his international meeting of the World Socialist Party, and he was one of the, he taught the Rhodes Scholars, and he was one of the One Worlders of his day at Oxford University. But he said that a person who's awake can think a thought that will be picked up all over the world simultaneously as it's being thought, it's instant. So they know that this actually works. And we, again, in this scientific age, as they try to atheize the public in order to control them, we tend to forget that there are other forces at work here in this realm. And there's no doubt about it, as you truly wake up, you'll find that synchronicities become more than just synchronicities. And you can actually think about something and you'll hear people suddenly spontaneously discuss it the following day, and I'm sure that it would never have popped into their heads unless you'd thought the thought in the first place.
Uh-huh.
So this is the power of thought in itself, and for thought to be pure and powerful, it has to come from someone who is awake. And I don't mean just partly awake or they think they're fighting the New World Order and trying to preserve the old, because the old was never theirs either.
Right. Yes.
It's all stages.
To fix it or to turn this thing around. Heck, why would we want it turned around?
Well, you can go back to the debt system of today or
yesterday
or whenever, you know. It's it's the same con game. And but no, I mean, these people, to play their godhood role as they truly want to do, must conquer every mind on the planet. Because you can't be ultimate and supreme or a god if there's somebody left standing that you haven't conquered.
Yes, and you brought that up. I was, it's out of the Orwell, George Orwell's 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not figure out why, when they caught Winston Smith, why they spent so much time torturing him until he finally could actually see that three fingers were four, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then they killed him.
That's right. It's not good enough to say that you tell me that. You must believe it.
But when I was questioning you about it, that I couldn't figure out why didn't they just kill him in the first place,
yeah.
That was what you brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody, before they are counted successful,
yeah.
By their own measurement, mm-hmm. every mind has to be controlled by them.
Every knee must bow. This is what they're after.
Every what?
Every knee must bow.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Every knee must bow.
Every knee must bow.
Yeah, that's what they're after.
Uh-huh.
To themselves.
Uh-huh.
And they will coerce and cajole and use force where required until everyone does it. They tend to use coercion until you have to go in a certain direction. But ultimately they use force on those who do not.
Let me ask you this, because the thought that went through my mind is that it also comes down to the emotional energy that we put out. So when we are living in fear, when we're living in hatred, when we're living in anger, we are actually feeding the beast, the system.
Well, absolutely. They're like vampires, you know.
Yes, spiritual vampires.
Yeah, this whole system is fear-based. That's why there are no certainties in life except the fact you're going to pay taxes and die.
So when I people have asked me, how can you not hate them?
Mm-hmm.
I just said I've chosen not to.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do hate, I'm not aware of it. Okay, Alan?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know we can fool ourselves sometimes. But what they do is they go back to the Bible and say, well, Jesus said we are supposed to hate. You know, love the sinner but hate the sin or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that word is a pretty strong word. And do you think that, would you comment on that?
Well, the only part in the New Testament where Christians for such a long time have been taught this strange thing of turning the other cheek.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm sure that was added in there by and the Bible has been updated so many times.
Yep.
Even from the earliest times. And in fact, reincarnation was its natural functioning up until the 6th century AD at the Second Council of Constantinople.
Yeah.
They decided to take that out of the Bible.
Under Justinian.
Mm-hmm.
Alan, I've got a paper on that, but I've tried to do some research, well, basically on the Internet, and I can't find anything that verifies that.
You'll find it in the Vatican papers if you go into the Catholic website, because they admit it, that the Vatican admits they did that.
Okay.
Recently they gave an apology for having removed all this in the 6th century.
Vatican website.
Yeah.
And go into what?
And go into the... They gave an apology, a public apology. It was earlier this year, in fact.
For literally removing references in the New Testament on referring to reincarnation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, I'm glad to hear that confirmed. It because it makes sense to me. And there are a couple of places in there it looks like they may have forgotten about or left in on purpose.
Well, that's why there are so many contradictions. I mean, the Catholic Church... we must remember, was the Roman Church. It was actually the Roman Empire. They transferred from military might to psychological might, power over the mind. It was much easier and actually more effective than armies. And so they kept updating and removing and so on parts of the New Testament. So.
And put words in Jesus' mouth.
Yeah.
That would tie. That would tie the New Testament back to the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And then that proves to people that the Old Testament is the Word of God.
Yeah, even though they did leave in, it says, I come to fulfill it. And this is the new covenant. It gave the new covenant. This is brand new.
Yeah, but, you know, you mentioned that one night, and we really didn't get into it because you said, well, the New Testament was the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, from my understanding, the Christians believe that Jehovah of the Old Testament being, quote, God, that when Jesus came, the new covenant was made, and that it is the same God, but it's just a different system now.
He never mentions Jehovah.
I know, but he says that it's something about, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, I believe he was talking about the universal law of creation.
Very possible.
I don't think he was talking about the man's law.
Well, there's simply no comparison between what he was teaching in his day to the Old Testament.
Right.
There's no comparison at all. I mean, the Old Testament is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And traditions
and wars and slavery and killing and slaughter and burnt.
Get rich and all that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And he preached the opposite to all of that. You know? So no, there's no comparison whatsoever. And of course, that's why modern Jewry claim that's why he was killed, because he was preaching against all of their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a heretic of that time.
Yes, you said that he had studied the mysteries and he became a renegade.
Yeah, I mean, he was openly, well, I say openly, but it was for those amongst the listeners who could understand the esoteric behind the stories that he was giving.
Uh-huh.
He was giving it out to the public. And these were sacred things that were to be kept for the inner...
Well, they certainly didn't want people to know that. Hi, you're on the air.
Well?
I'm on the air, Zach.
Okay.
I'll be off at 10. Bye.
So people again don't realize that the Pharisees were a brotherhood unto themselves, and they had their own esoteric religion just for the Pharisees.
Those would be the Levites?
Well, not Levites. No, there were no Levites by then.
Oh, okay.
You see?
Well, those priests really, they really raked in, didn't they, Alan?
Yes.
In the name of Jehovah? I mean, it counts all the gold and silver that was brought to them and all the animals and all the first of this and the first of that,
mm-hmm.
as though it were going to be given to, quote, Jehovah.
Yeah.
And the priests were just getting filthy rich.
Yes, they were. And they were also really enslaving the people because, as Jesus said, the people are so bound down with man-made laws. You wouldn't believe how many rituals they had to go through in a day just before.
Okay, you keep talking. I have to leave the mic for a minute.
Yeah. So the people were being bound down with all of these laws and rules and so on, that they could hardly get a day's work done. And if they broke any of the taboos, which that's what it's all about, is taboos, they had to go and cleanse themselves and so on before they could start all over again. And meanwhile, as Jesus said, you make all these laws that bind down my people, but you don't follow them yourselves. So we're back to the old hypocrisy business, which is ever present with us. But the Pharisaical sect were a sect, and they had an esoteric religion for themselves, which were not shared with the people they lorded over. And, of course, they claimed to possess the secret laws of Moses at that time, which became the Mishnah. And they have dozens and dozens of other laws and rules that Gentiles have never heard of. So it's far more complicated than the school system we've all been brought up in to believe. And as I say, there's no trace of an Israelite people ever having existed in the ancient records of well-established empires that existed supposedly at the same time as Israel and before it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now the Persians took copious records. The Egyptians, they're still digging up records from all the different parts of the empires that they ruled, and there is no Israel mentioned anywhere.
Do you, we only have a couple minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Do you observe Christmas?
Not for me. I mean, it's just the old. In fact, it's well admitted that that was the.
That's what.
It's been well admitted that that's simply the turnover into the spring.
Right.
The sun hangs in the air for 3 days, doesn't go any further north, and then it starts all over again. It starts going further north. So that's that was always the ancient tradition.
And some people say he was born in April. Some say he was born in October.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it really just doesn't matter what the name was,
mm-hmm.
but that the fact that there was a very deeply loving spirit that came to this world to bear witness unto the truth.
It was to show a way.
To show a way, the way shower.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what he was showing was all of the ways to defeat this system.
Uh-huh. Well, Alan, we just got our one-minute warning here.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you for being on with us again, and you will be back, yes?
Yes, I will.
Yes, I know you will. Ladies and gentlemen, remember that tomorrow night, Jeff Bennett will be the guest host, and I think you will definitely want to tune in. I want to thank Jeff, too, by the way, for doing this. And thank Alan, of course, for spending his time with us and enlightening us, if you would. And please remember that this broadcast is brought to you by you. We'll be back with you Monday. Have a lovely weekend. And have sweet dreams tonight. Thank you, folks. God bless you. And good night. Good night, Alan. Thank you.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are...